In the name of Jesus, amen. It was 203 AD. The place was Carthage, Rome, and the woman was named Perpetua. She was a well-educated, 22-year-old married mother with a nursing infant. She had enrolled in catechesis classes along with four or five others during a time of great persecution in the Roman Empire. And in those catechesis classes, as she left the church, she was thrown into the dungeon along with her other catechumens. And then her father came to her, urging her to renounce the faith. And so she writes, "When I was in the hand of my persecutors, my father, in his tender concern, tried hard to pervert me from the faith. My father, I said, you see this pitcher of water. Can we call it by any other name than what it is? Well, no, he said. Nor can I, she said, call myself anything other than what I am, and that is a Christian. Again, her father came to her pleading in prison, weeping and begging, and he said, look, have pity on your mother, have pity on your brother, have pity on your sister. Perpetua simply replied to her father, God's will be done. Finally, Perpetua and the other catechumens were brought to trial. And as she was in line, she heard the others before her confessing Christ. And as she stood before the proconsul, or that is the judge, her father came to her yet again, but this time he had her infant son in his arms. And he said with tears, perform the sacrifice. Have mercy on your child. Even the judge at the time said, look, woman, spare your father's gray hair. Spare your infant child. Make the sacrifice to Caesar. Perpetua simply responded, I am a Christian. In the arena, she was gorged by a mad or wild cow. Her clothes were torn, and not dead yet, she said to those around her, stand fast in the faith and love you all one another, and please be not offended at our passion, that is our suffering. And then the impatient crowd watching the scene demanded the death for all the Christians, and Perpetua with others were lined up one by one, and they were put to the sword. This is precisely the struggle that Jesus is talking about in the gospel lesson. Between family and truth. Between a worldly love and a faithfulness to Christ. It's always been this way. Always. Think through the Bible. Was Adam more concerned about what Eve thought she would say to him that night if he didn't eat the fruit than he was of God? Or what if Abraham had been more worried about what his wife Sarah's reaction would have been when he told her that God wanted to sacrifice their only son Isaac? Well, what about all those things that King David did in the name of love for Bathsheba? We know King Solomon, he put all of his wives and concubines before his faith, and he lost faith, falling into great despair and shame. Or what if Mary put her engagement to Joseph before God and his word? Or what if James and John, the sons of Zebedee, put the Zebedee family fishing business before following Christ? It's not just this generation that has struggled between faith toward God and and their love for each other, between the family and the truth, between what ties us each together and then what ties us to God. It's as old as the sad idolatry that occurred in the garden. And do know it will test all of us all the way unto our grave. I'm sure you all know that true peace is not everyone just simply getting along, as contrary to what people tend to think. No, peace has a very high price. And those who will not receive the peace of Jesus will receive his sword. Jesus knows full well that his gospel brings division. He literally says, "I came not only as to give peace, but even more so a sword." Jesus' gospel brings division. But do we understand that? Do we get that his peace is sharp and unbending? And in a real sense, we are not all in this together. That is the church and the world. Because the world has different aims, desires, and wants than the church. And the church has different aims, desires, and goals of that of the world. They are not friends. We are not friends with the world, nor are the world friends with the church. So, Jesus' gospel, his doctrine, divides. But it is a good division because it ultimately divides us from our sin and our death and the punishment of hell. The sword that divides us is Christ himself. This is not division because of being sinners in a sinful world. We see that everywhere today. But this is a division precisely on the basis of Christ himself, and who has brought peace to sinners, and other sinners who have denied that peace and have rejected that peace. So the division ultimately lies precisely between those who confess Christ and those who deny Christ. And we heard that last week. Between those who stand confessed by Christ before his Father and those who, unless they repent of their sin, will be denied by Christ before his Father. In the end, Christ is everything. And the cracks that open between believers and unbelievers that run through all of human society and relationships, families, work relationships, schools, communities, everywhere. And as in families, the divisions can only be healed when on both sides the individuals are called, gathered, enlightened by the gospel, and kept in the one Christian church. And for us who are in the church, if we attempt to bridge this division gap by denying that the division exists or pretending that things will simply just go along as they had been before, or standing with family against the cross of Christ, then, as Jesus bluntly says today, we are not worthy of him. At some point or points in your life, you will make choices that show where you stand with Christ or with something or someone else. A perfect example of that happens at our 10:30 divine service with the rite of confirmation. So we will have catechumens come up and confess the faith of Christ and so be divided from the world and its passions into the Christian church and into the blessedness of the eternal gifts of the church. This confession, mind you, defines their entire life, even in the face of death like that of Perpetua. For if our confession as catechumens, both young and old, regardless, is simply to make our family happy, for the show of it all, for perhaps the presents and the cake afterwards, then again, as Jesus says, we are not worthy of Him. The day of confirmation is only peace to those catechumens who live in the Word of Christ, who abide in their baptism and know that at the table of the Lord they have the forgiveness of all their sins, no matter what. But it is a sword to those who live by the idea that that rite is to be received and then quickly reneged upon. That is simply a memory that is tucked away in a photo up in an attic or down in a basement. After all, what matters more? And more importantly, on what will you stake your life? Family? Comfort? Politics? Peers? Self-esteem? Identity? Happiness? Life itself? Or Christ? Christ who makes you part of His family. Christ who gives you the true comfort of His gospel. Christ who gives you life that lasts beyond this life, even though you die. You well know, but it needs bearing repeating, that we can't straddle the world and the church hoping to have man's favor and God's blessing at the same time. Because if you love the world and its ways, your faith will die in the church and in her ways. But if you love the church and her ways, you will die in the world and to its ways. Jesus says this: the one who finds his life will lose it. And the one who loses his life, literally on account of me, Jesus says, will find it. Because if a house is divided against itself, we know that it cannot stand. And we know that houses are divided all around us. Again, we heard that last week. Parents against children, husbands against wives, wives against husbands, siblings against siblings, etc. And we talk a lot in these decades about broken homes, houses that have fallen because of the division within them. But whether the end result is sadly the cold knife of divorce or not, every house, mind you, is divided. And every house is broken with sin, no matter how much Christian veneer there is. When sinners live together, it will not be long that cracks will show in the foundation. And if those cracks are not fixed, the house itself will break apart. For example, husbands and wives who do not take account of the fault lines running beneath their own hearts and their own sin will face earthquakes of their marriage and their life together, causing sin to erupt and to perhaps break up their marriage and break up their family. The emotional feeling of love is not enough to keep those cracks from becoming craters. The only love that can heal these divisions is the love that brings repeated and eternal forgiveness. And so, it's only when people realize that they are sinners, and what sort of sinners they are, when they realize what sort of sin that they commit against one another, and when they realize what sort of Savior they have from themselves, Only then can they, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive each other as we have been forgiven. Think about it. Once I know that no matter what my sin is, it cannot drive me away from Christ, then that same love begins to grow in my heart for the person who sins against me every day. And what is amazing about this is that the same love grows in their heart towards me. And it's only such endless, reckless forgiveness that will push divided houses back together and seal up the cracks of broken homes. And knowing that houses will be divided, and knowing that Satan lurks around seeking to divide houses and families, Jesus gives us this promise. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives him who sent me. Because Jesus has sent his prophets, literally as he says, his righteous little ones, whoever hears the word of Jesus hears Christ himself. It is Christ who comes to you week in and week out, over and over again, and he speaks to you his word, and he forgives you your sins by the pastor's mouth. And also by the pastor's hand, who puts his body and his blood into your mouth for the forgiveness of sins. And in these simple ways of preaching and the sacrament, this is how Christ builds his church or his house. And you are the house that God is building by these ways. You are God's field, as St. Paul says. And God has sent his pastors into this field so that they would build upon the only foundations that shall last: gold, silver, and precious stones. That is the word and the sacraments. But do not mistake your pastors for the ones who are responsible for the growth. The pastor who planted this church decades and decades ago, and those who since have watered, like your pastors now, are nothing. For it is only God who gives the growth of his church. And so the promise stands. Christ builds his own house, and it can never fall. For by the word and sacraments, it forever remains, even on this divided earth, a place of unity in the forgiveness of sins. He gathers his own people from all these divided places, these divided families, communities, societies, and he brings peace to those who come to this house. And his family, you, gather at his table to eat and to drink his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And so whatever cracks that have been created among us by our sin against each other, they are healed at that table. There Christ exchanges his sinless life for your sinful life. And he will recreate you again to demonstrate what it is to be family. That is, family is where the forgiveness of sins is given and received, where the word of God is heard in truth and purity, where life grows in the midst of impending death and disease, where children are protected by their Heavenly Father in the Son's body that we call the church. Therefore, as you heard last week, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear because the blood of Christ, your brother, is stronger than any other human bond on this earth. And that bond cannot break under the weight of any sin, because he's bound you to himself in the baptismal bond that can never be broken. In this house, there is peace forever. And as often as you eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, you proclaim, as the scriptures say, the Lord's death until he comes. So pray that with each other, pray with your pastors, and as we pray for you, that all who are not part of this family would become part of this family. And all those sheep that are wandering from the fold, that they would come back to this family or find another faithful family to hear the word of God and receive the sacraments, so that they might receive the testimony of Christ, proclaim his Lord's death, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, and finally know the things that make for peace, not only in this life, but having the peace of eternity in the life to come. In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.